Today is Tuesday, October 30, 2007, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. I was talking to someone yesterday who still did not realize that the Idaho Observer, a newspaper out of Idaho, is another of the alternative newspapers that's under Zionist control. The reason some people trust the Idaho Observer is that a couple of years ago they were selling my book in DVD, and they even carried a couple articles of mine. However, Alex Jones, the American Free Press, and other people also sold my book a couple of years ago. You can't judge a person or an organization by what they did a couple years ago. You have to look at everything they've been doing throughout their entire existence. If you do that with the Idaho Observer, or Alex Jones, or the American Free Press, and the other truth seekers, then you're going to notice a pattern. The pattern is that during the past few years, virtually everybody in this so-called truth movement has been pretending that I don't exist, or they're insulting me. This cannot be a coincidence because all of them are doing it. This has to be a coordinated effort. As I've mentioned before, different people should have different opinions. When you find people scattered all over the world promoting the exact same opinion, you have to suspect some sort of coordination. Years ago, I trusted the Idaho Observer and lots of other people, but now it looks as if the only reason they were selling my book and DVD was to make some money and create the impression that they are honest investigators. However, the situation changed a couple of years ago. I think that's when the Zionists started to realize that they're being exposed, and they started to panic. They've been trying desperately to push me aside and Christopher Bolin, and promote their own agents as 9/11 investigators. It's also interesting that as these truth seekers were trying to push me aside, Daryl Smith began calling me on the phone and asked me for help with his website and radio show. Smith's latest audio interview with Mohammed Rafik on Sunday, the 28th of October 2007, is more evidence that he may be just another Zionist agent whose job was to become my friend so that he could find my weakness and manipulate me. I wasn't planning to discuss Smith again, but I'm still getting questions about this issue, and his latest interview is useful as a lesson in their manipulation techniques. If you've listened to me before, you know that I think it's important to analyze and understand their techniques so that we can learn how to avoid becoming one of their suckers. So let's start by listening to this excerpt of his interview with Mohammed Rafik.
That's right. And you know, I've fallen victim to deception and horrible slander and the rest of it at the hands of people who may in fact be operatives. I don't know what the motivations of these two individuals are, but I must say, Mohammed, you know, my goal here is to just soldier on with this stuff and essentially put what these two, I don't know what to call them, but put behind me my relationship with them, because what is coming out over time here is that I was badly abused by both of them. And in fact, you know, to have somebody place your wife's picture on the internet and your photographs of your home and start doing very horrible things to somebody with the betrayal and saying you're working with somebody, but then taping all of the conversations you're having with them, and it stinks like a Zionist plot to me.
It must be extremely unpleasant for you, Daryl. Sadly, it does go with the territory. What I would say is that, you know, when you look at the time of Ramsey, you know, when they wanted to have a go at Ramsey, okay, he got locked up in jail. People didn't put his home up on offer. People didn't put his wife up on offer or his family on offer. It was the man himself. And I find it difficult to believe that people can't understand why people wouldn't get very upset, minimum, probably extremely angry. It is a fair reaction to somebody dragging other members of your family who are not involved in your fight into your fight. That should be sufficient to distress anybody. And if any, and I can see that, it's very clear to me. If a man was a Palestinian and somebody attacked his wife or child, I would expect that man to become angry. I would expect him to be upset about that. And I would expect also his friends to sympathize and come to his defense. So,
well,
you know,
people have, almost to a man, supported me in this whole thing, I think, because I see the results of people writing me and whatnot. But my larger issue is that, how could I have been so badly duped? And I told you earlier when this particular individual was spreading rumors that I was dying in a few months, and he said that he's going to be dead in a month or two, so you can deal with me about these things, is what Eric actually told somebody. And when I was told this by the person he said it to, I flipped out and said that I wanted him off my website. Now, this was back in the about 8 months ago now, and more than that. It was like February of last year. And he just completely made a lie out of it, and he made a lie out of my PayPal things. And then I find out from PayPal that he's the guy behind getting my PayPal shut down. And this makes you wonder he's an operative. I have to say that I've been taken to down the primrose path here, and I trusted somebody that has turned out to be a bad guy. And I was warned. I was warned by a lot of people that he was bad, and I just couldn't see the forest through the trees. Now, you know, in hindsight, it's becoming clearer to me because I've stepped away from this man's influence for a long enough period and not accepted his version of things. Now, that was the problem I had. I was trusting.
Consider Smith's complaint that Boleyn should not have posted photos of Smith's wife or his house. Both Smith and Rafiq complained that Boleyn dragged Smith's wife into the dispute. If you listen only to what Smith and Rafiq are saying, you are likely to come to the conclusion that Boleyn truly is a bad person, and that he forced an innocent woman to get involved in this fight. Smith and Rafiq are focusing on a very narrow aspect of the dispute between Smith and Boleyn. You can visualize what they're doing as making you look at the issue through a narrow paper tube. They are fooling you into focusing on Boleyn's posting of the photos. However, you can't understand an issue by focusing on one narrow aspect of it. You have to look at the entire dispute between Boleyn and Smith and ask such questions as, why did Boleyn post those photos in the first place? Once you look at the entire dispute, you can see two major problems with what Smith is saying. First, Smith started the fight by making terrible accusations about the Boleyn family during that Thanksgiving visit in 2005. Boleyn responded by describing his side of the story, and he posted photos as evidence for what he was saying. He didn't have any video or audio evidence. He only had some photos, so he posted the only evidence he had. How can Boleyn be considered to be badly behaved when he's defending himself? Second, Smith was threatening to have me killed if I don't criticize Boleyn and his son. If it's wrong for Boleyn to post photos of Smith's wife and house, why isn't it wrong for Smith to threaten my death if I don't attack Boleyn and his son? Who is really behaving badly here? Smith complains that Boleyn dragged his wife into the issue, but Smith wanted to drag Boleyn's child into the issue. Furthermore, Smith was threatening me if I don't help him attack Boleyn and his child. Smith and Rafiq focus on Boleyn's posting of photos, and by focusing on that tiny aspect of the overall dispute, Smith appears to be a victim of the cruel and untrustworthy Christopher Boleyn. Smith is telling the truth when he says Boleyn posted photos of his wife and house, but Smith is ignoring an enormous amount of information about the dispute. This is an example of how people can be deceived with the truth, if only a portion of that truth is exposed. In 2006, I wrote an article about how people can be deceived with the truth. I used the sick rescue workers from 9/11 as an example in that article. I pointed out that Jenna Orkin and some of the other 9/11 truth seekers are telling people the truth when they say the rescue workers are sick because the air around the World Trade Center was not safe to breathe. However, those truth seekers are deceiving people by leaving out some very critical information, such as why the air was unsafe to breathe. A woman named Penny Little recently made a video about the health problems. The video is called Dust and Deceit. Jenna Orkin, Penny Little, and these other deceptive truth seekers create the impression that it was just ordinary dust and that the health problems are due to asbestos and chemicals. They complain that the government didn't warn people to wear face masks. They are deliberately ignoring the evidence that the World Trade Center buildings were demolished with explosives. Christopher Bolin interviewed a professor from Davis who studied the air samples, and he found microscopic spherical metal particles floating in the air. And he said such tiny spheres of metal can only be produced from extreme temperatures, and that they were so small that they would penetrate the lungs and cause serious health problems. People can deceive you with the truth if they give you only a portion of the truth. This is what Smith is doing. He is telling you the truth when he says Bolin posted photos of his wife and house. But Smith doesn't discuss the issue of why Bolin posted those photos in the first place. It's only when you look at the overall incident that you realize Bolin was simply defending himself. Another of Smith's complaints in that excerpt I played for you is that me, or Bolin, were spreading rumors that Smith was dying. I'm not sure if Smith is referring to me or Bolin. However, Smith told me many times that he was in very bad health, and in one phone call even told me that he was worried he was dying. He was having trouble breathing or with his heart, I can't remember now. Unfortunately, I did not record that phone call. This shows the importance of recording phone calls. It will be my word against his. I remember him telling me many times that he was in very bad health, and he was wondering how long he would live. He also mentioned his health was bad on some of his radio shows, and people sent suggestions to him. One of his listeners suggested he stop smoking, and another person suggested he eat the algae called chlorella. Here is an excerpt from his broadcast on September 29, 2006, about recovering from an operation.
I have been in the recovery stages of an operation I underwent, and feeling a bit better. Still have some healing to do, but I want to thank you all for your wishes, best wishes there. You, a lot of people sent me get well wishes, and I thank you very much for that.
On his March 13th, 2007 show, he mentioned his health problems several times. For example, here he mentions his cholesterol level is beyond anything even remotely resembling normal.
You know, I shared with you, and I'll share with other people. In France, they told me I have 7 grams per liter of cholesterol.
And how about this?
To be faced at 50 years old with poor health, and know most of it is at my own hands.
Then, later in the show, he mentions this.
And one of the reasons why I've taken so much time off is because I haven't felt well lately.
Eventually, Smith tried chlorella, and it made him feel better. Smith thanked the person on one of his radio shows for telling him about chlorella, and he praised chlorella on several of his shows. He also mentioned that his health is much better now. To summarize his health issues, Smith is the person who made remarks about his poor health. It wasn't me. I and other people believed Smith when he said he was in poor health. Another of Smith's accusations in that excerpt I played for you is that I caused his PayPal account to be shut down. That accusation seems real because he says, "Then I find out from PayPal that he's the guy behind getting my PayPal shut down." However, Smith doesn't explain how I'm responsible for what PayPal does or who at PayPal made this accusation. He simply makes the remark and hopes that we believe him. I suppose if Smith asks his criminal friends in Las Vegas to have me killed, and if they turn him down because his credit is bad, Smith will announce, "And then I find out from the Las Vegas mob accountant that Hufschmidt is the guy behind getting my credit shut down." In that excerpt I played for you, Smith says that he was warned about me. But who warned him? Let's hear the names of the people. and let's hear what those warnings were. Smith is once again making an accusation that sounds credible, but there's nothing to support it. It's simply an attempt to manipulate our emotions. The only people I've heard ever warn other people about me are the Zionist Jews. Nobody else is afraid of me. Whenever you catch somebody lying or committing a crime, you should ask yourself, what are the chances that this is the very first time this person has behaved in such a manner? I mentioned this years ago in regards to the 9/11 attack. It's not very likely that 9/11 was conducted by amateurs who never committed a crime before. It's much more likely that they were experienced criminals. Take a look at some of the people that we suspect of high-level involvement in 9/11, such as Larry Silverstein, Rahm Emanuel, and Ariel Sharon. Bolin wrote about Emanuel's family and points out that his father is suspected of being part of the team that murdered a Swedish ambassador. Bolin referred to Rahm Emanuel as the son of a terrorist. There are also accusations that Larry Silverstein has been involved with crime for decades. Now consider Smith. Do you think those angry phone calls to me were the very first time he ever tried to intimidate a person? Certainly it's possible, but we ought to consider the possibility that he has been working with some crime network for years, and that he's been trying to intimidate people before. This may be one of the reasons he doesn't want us to see his photo. Perhaps he's worried that some of his victims will recognize him. His behavior reminded me of gangsters in a Hollywood movie that are trying to intimidate people. I find it difficult to believe that somebody could behave in that manner towards me if they had never behaved in that manner before. As I was listening to him, I had the feeling that this was not the first time he talked to somebody like this. Smith's interview with Rafik brings up another important issue, and that is, should we trust Jewish Muslims? Rafik is willing to defend Smith, but from what I remember, Rafik is a Jew who converted to the Muslim religion and changed his name to Muhammad. Professor Kevin Barrett also converted to the Muslim religion, and a few years ago he created the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. Key Dudney, who admits to being at least partly Jewish, also became a Muslim, and now he's involved with 9/11 Truth. Both Barrett and Dudney promote only the truth seekers who protect the Zionist crime network. Does that sound like a Muslim to you? How many Jewish Muslims are really Muslims? How many Jewish Christians are really Christians? My advice is don't trust any of them. We should also wonder about anybody who continues to support Smith now that he has shown such a bizarre aspect of himself. Smith's phone call to me shows how important it is for us to start recording people who seem suspicious. We have no other defense. Smith can find people such as Mohammed Rafik to defend him, but who will defend me? Who will defend Bolin? And who will defend you if you ever need it in the future? If I had not recorded Smith's angry phone call, who would have believed me when I said that such a sweet, wonderful man could behave like a gangster in a Hollywood movie? If we remove the secrecy that protects these people, we will see what they really are. Right now, we only see what they want us to see. Remember that you don't have to make your recordings public. You can make the recordings to help your friends understand what's going on, and you can quietly email them to other people. It would actually be better if you don't let the suspicious people realize that you suspect them of being Zionists. It would be better if you observe them quietly and observe their associates and behind their back spread information about them. This will create a situation similar to that story of the emperor and his new clothes. Specifically, the Zionist agents will be proudly walking among us, confident that we don't realize what they're doing. But in reality, we will be using technology to remove their secrets and expose them. Eventually, we might have enough support and evidence to deal with these criminals. If Smith was truly interested in helping me to stop Zionism, he would have helped me and Bolin. He would not have attacked Bolin and his child, and he would not have threatened to kill me if I didn't also attack Bolin and his child. Smith's behavior makes no sense, unless he is a Zionist or under their control. I don't think we should dismiss Smith's attempt to intimidate me as something insignificant. I think it's a sign that the Zionists are becoming extremely desperate. I think they've been failing to get another 9/11 type of attack to occur, and they're also failing to get the U.S. military to attack Iran. I think the Zionists have reached such a point of desperation that they're going to try to expose 9/11 and put themselves into the position of saviors. Let me explain some of the other things I see happening right now. First, here's an excerpt from Alex Jones on Monday, October 29, 2007. He's talking to Luke Rutowski, a young man from New York who's part of WeAreChange.org.
Luke Rutowski, you've got the floor. Talk about what 9/11 crew is doing right now. Talk about how people need to get involved. Talk about how serious this is.
I mean, this is a perfect time to be alive. I mean, it's not time to watch. It's not time to listen. It's time to act. It's time to do something. And this is a perfect time to be alive. We have the internet. We have all our technology. We have the time, the perfect time right now to actually do something and actually do something positive and take this country back away from the criminals who stole it away from us and make this country mean what it meant before. And that's the Bill of Rights. That's the Constitution. Let's take what's ours. Let's take what's right. And again, stop listening. Stop watching. Let's start acting. Let's start doing something.
Alex Jones, Luke Rutowski, and the other so-called 9/11 truth seekers are saying almost exactly what I'm saying. Except that I blame the Zionists, and they blame mysterious groups such as the New World Order and the globalists. If those people can fool the nation into thinking that they will save us from the globalists, then they will sacrifice a few globalists, and the entire Zionist crime network will remain operational. They might also try to stage a civil war, and if they can do that, they can easily use the chaos to kill lots of us. They know a lot of people who are wise to them. For example, the people who've subscribed to the American Free Press or the Idaho Observer. They also know the names of many people who've donated to the Ron Paul campaign and the people who've purchased DVDs from Dave Von Kleist and other people. In order for them to be successful with this trick, they've got to get rid of those of us who complain that Zionists are responsible for these crimes and that most of the truth seekers are also Zionists. Another important development that I've mentioned before is that Sophia, who created 9/11 Mysteries, has replaced the section of her video that showed my book and photo. She replaced it with David Ray Griffin, and now she's getting an amazing amount of publicity in America, Europe, and other nations. This is not a coincidence. The only protection we have against this Zionist crime network is to spread my website. Don't let people forget about me or Christopher Bolin. Warn people that this truth movement is a farce. And start using cell phones, video cameras, and audio recorders to gather information to prove that these so-called truth seekers are liars. Finally, I posted a two-part audio file from Christopher Bolin that he emailed to me. In these files, he sounds exactly like I remember him, so I guess that's a sign that he's adjusting to captivity. However, he told me to stop saying that he's kidnapped or in trouble. Well, I was just thinking that the best thing to do is wait for some evidence that he's truly free before I jump to such a wild conclusion. What do you think? Anyway, that's the file for today. Until the next time, goodbye.